Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for coming. Yeah, let's. Good morning, and thanks for coming. Welcome, everyone, today to the service, and let's open with prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house and worship and serve you today, and the opportunity for this church to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the bulletins, does anyone have a blue one? Oh, look, both of y'all sitting there together? Huh? So y'all went around paying folks, right? Yeah. And is somebody's birthday tomorrow?
Yeah.
She'll be 25 tomorrow, is that right? Yeah, you hope? 20. Oh. 25 again. Announcements. Let's go to announcements. Well, we know about that. Next week, I'm excited about next week because that's kind of a favorite part of John for me. And the food and fellowship, church council meeting coming up. This here is a hold on that for a minute, please. Would you explain, being that you're affiliated with that? Thank you. John 7:25-52. This is really, to me, kind of the filler up to to 8, which I'm kind of partial to. So if I don't seem like I do a good job, please don't take it personal. God will do what he's going to do. And the Osbournes, like always, will read our scriptures for us.
At that point, some of the people in Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from." Then Jesus, teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but on he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." At this they tried to seize him, but no man laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Still many in the crowd believed in him. They said, "When the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man?" The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, "I am with you only a short time, and then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where other people live scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?"
On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been sanctified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him?" "No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee."
Thank you. Same problem that we have the day they had 2,000 years ago. Group of people over here looking for reasons to not recognize Christ for who he was. Group of people over here wanting to believe, have faith in the signs that they had seen and believed that he was the Messiah. It's one of the toughest questions that one in humanity has to ask herself. Really, in here, am I in this group or am I in that group? Because the people in power to be, they had the law and the fancy robes and the temple and the synagogue, and they had everything that said that they were the one in authority, right? Nicodemus wasn't buying it, though, because he had met, and he realized, are we going to put this man to death? Are we going to we don't even know who he is. We've not even heard him out. Just because he teaches in a way that we don't understand, he's saying stuff about God that we cannot understand, but we cannot find anything biblical to contradict what he's saying. I mean, that's why they couldn't come to him and say, "You broke this law and you broke that law, and here in Scriptures, we prove that you're a liar through Scriptures." They couldn't do that. Couldn't do it. So they were dumbfound. No man's ever spoke like this before. We couldn't put our hands on him. Surely he may be who he says he is. But they were plotting to kill him. A thing that jumps out to me here that always has jumped out to me in this scripture, the one thing I know is in the life of Jesus Christ, his mother was never a stone throw away from him. Now, we've seen the authorities bring in other people's parents, the blind man, and said, "Has he been?" But no one bothered to ask Mary where was your son born? Well, where would that be? Bethlehem. Ooh. So his birth does perfectly lined up with Scripture. And he was telling them constantly where he was from. And you can't come there. I'm from the kingdom. I am the son of the God Almighty. And you are so caught up in your law, in your self-righteousness, and wanting me to fit into what you think the Messiah should look like. He's standing in front of you and you can't recognize him. Instead of you adjusting yourself to my Father's will, you want God's will adjust to your will. That we will not accept God on this earth unless God delivers himself here the way we see fit. Whew. Boy, that takes a set. That's all I got to say. You know, to just God, you know, that I'm going to demand God to operate the way I want him to operate. But we do it today. Human people do it today, constantly. You know, we get caught up in our self-will, you know, in our self-vision, and some way or another, Satan is so tricky. I'm constantly rebuking him. Constantly rebuking him because he's so tricky, you know. And some way or another, he's always trying to convince me that my serving God, next thing I know, I'm talking about God serving me again. And what makes us think like that as human beings? The two don't even go together, right? That the Almighty God, the creator of all, the only path to be with him forever through his son, he is at our beck and call to do what we want, when we want, the way we want, whenever we want. Boy, we can get arrogant sometimes, can't we? We can get self-righteous sometimes. Thanking God. I just wonder, does he laugh? You know, what kind of grace and unconditional love that he has? Here are these people that I love so dearly. If they would follow my will and not seek things of this world, not buying the lies of Lucifer, that Satan, the proof is not in him, no longer buy that bill of good, that underhanded snake belly creature, and just follow me, their life will be better in this world and will also be better forever with me. But they figure out that they think that they have a better plan than I do. So where are you going to be? Because at the end of the day, there's only one person can answer that question for you. And that's the guy or the lady in the mirror. Am I over here? Or am I over here? And then it's that other group of people that Jesus said, I'll spit them out of my mouth. They're right here. They're talking about being of God, but all their actions is of the world. So they're not Luke. They're not warm and cold. They're Luke. And Jesus said, I'll spit that nasty stuff out of my mouth. You know, You know, I have more respect for these people that stand against me than I will for the people that pretends to be of me but do something else. You know, I'm going to jump over into Ten Commandments real quick. Is a, you know, it's, you know, the day and time in this Bible, King James Bible, that the Ten Commandment says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Well, that is a rough interpretation. And in the original Hebrew, the correct interpretation is do not carry the Lord's name in vain. Now, see, that's two different things. Me taking something verbally or whatever, and we think about that, that I will not forgive you for. That's why Jesus is saying, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Because you're taking my name, my Father's name, and you're carrying it, and you're doing works of the world, and you're carrying my name in vain, and you're carrying it to the lost, and you're deceiving them into the pits of hell with my God, my Father, and my Word. I will not forgive you for that. I mean, I'm an old baseball coach. And I don't know how many times I said, oh my God, what a home run when one of my teammates hit a home run in a clutch situation. And I have a hard time believing God will send me to hell for that. I do believe that I will bust hell wide open if I do Satan's work in the name of God. There'll be a special place right there, probably sitting next to him. I'll be stoking his fire, making sure that he stays warm as he wants to be. You know, that scared me. So that's the question today. Where am I really? Where's my heart at? Or am I compromising what I know is right for things of this world? You know? Is it my salvation with God the most important thing to me? Or am I trying to, I like to say, a good friend of mine, Michael Horry, down in Pascagoula, Mississippi, like to say, boy, we really like to have a Burger King God. You know, he's a good friend, you know, that I want God, but I don't want none of that God tomatoes on there. So get that God tomato off of there. And I want God, but I want extra mayonnaise, God mayonnaise on there, and keep that mustard off of there. And I want that Whopper, that God Whopper, just the way I want it, you know. And all the stuff that God said makes a perfect Whopper, I want to take the stuff that makes me have to confront the man in the mirror. I want to take all that stuff off the Whopper, you know. I don't want a Burger King God today. You know, I want God to make my spiritual Whopper just the way he wants it, and I'm going to eat every bite of it, and God, I'm going to be grateful for it. I'm going to praise his Son. You know. And then Jackie again. You just don't know how she touched my heart. Because that's the key thing. That's not an easy situation. That's not an easy chair to sit in. And she said, I'm going to sit in this chair, and I'm going to take this chair that God has handed me, and I'm going to glorify Christ with it. And she said to me one time, I kind of struggle sometimes feeling Christ. And I'm like, well, he's not struggling feeling you, darling. Because you're sitting here and you're glorifying him, and he will return that feeling in his time, not yours. But you just keep glorifying Christ and see what he does for you. Because I know what Christ will do. I don't have to get secondhand information from anyone. I know what God has done for me when I glorified Christ through all things. Next week, we're going to get into a favorite part of my scriptures there, because there's a situation in there. We're going to dive into knowing the difference between sin and evil. And there are two different things. And there's a situation in next week's scripture with Christ where sin is presented, but pure evil out of the gates of hell is presented too. And we're going to see how a lot of times sin tries to hide, evil tries to hide behind sin of mankind to try to skate through and pretend to be something that it's not. You know, and we'll see what God did, Christ, our Savior, did with the sin, and we'll see what he did with the evil. So that's my message for this week. Thank you so much. We have to have vigilance and watch closely of our walk with God and not let Satan pull us away. There's one other thing that I just want to say God just put on my heart. Is I just finished a book not too long ago for school called Tortured for Christ. And it's a book that over in Russia and over there and the things that they went through and I mean some of the stuff that they had to go through and stay faithful to God, you know. And the day and time, we as Christians in this country, you know, somebody will change the time of the service and we'll get mad and we're not going to church anymore. Or someone will say something that I disagree with and we'll get mad and I'm not going to church anymore. If they ain't, you know, if they can't have the exact same opinion that I have, you know, I don't need to be a part of the body, you know. And I just pray for them individuals. You know, I pray for them that really you're going to let Satan cut you out of the herd that easy. You know, you really are going to do that. You're going to let what you think's going on run you out instead of knowing what's going on in Christ and staying in. You know, an old saying that Wayne knows and I know that it's really good. I can't fall off the middle. Right? If I'm dead in the middle of the body of this church, and I am working with everything I have to be my part of what God would have for me to do my job to glorify Christ here, and I'm right in the middle of what's going on here, it's impossible for me to fall out of the middle. Satan never ran right up in the middle of a herd of sheep and grabbed one right out of the middle. He's always working around the edges. Because he's a coward and he's always looking for a shortcut and he's looking for an easier, softer way to steal what is God's. And he'll run and he'll grab one off the edge and say, I got another one. But he's not going to go right up there in the middle, close. Because you know what's also in the middle there? Jesus Christ, the shepherd, right? So them sheep's right up against the shepherd. He ain't fooling with them sheep's. Because he knows if he gets too close to there, Jesus may lay a little spiritual smackdown on him. Saying he's scared, right? So I encourage you, stay in the middle. Don't allow Satan to push you to the edge where he can snatch you out. You know. Thank y'all. And y'all, and then again, you guys don't really know. You really don't know how grateful I am to be a servant here. And I lay in my bed at night sometimes, and I cry and pray and go and just thank God so much. How he has took a wretched sinner like me and turned me into something that no longer makes everybody sick on their stomach. Probably still about half of the people, but not everybody anymore. So I just love you guys, and I want you to know that. We have another worship song, I believe. Thank y'all for letting me.
Thank you.
We'll have final prayer. Still praying for Kathy's family and Miss D and Beth Ann and Jackie and Sherry and Jimbo. Good to see him in here. And Bulldog and the family that lost them four kids, you know, in that fire. And the two young men that were shot recently, I don't know the status of that. Julie's mother passed away, so we're praying for that family. And Rod and Sue and them evidently has COVID, and they're quarantined, so we're praying for them. And also, I want to pray for a family, you guys, pray for a family that we don't even know. But on our way back home, evidently 18-wheeler crossed over and hit a car, and some individuals in that car was killed. And it was an hour and 30-minute delay because of that. But so there's a family out there that was probably on a weekly weekend vacation and thought they were going, and then came in. So just whoever that family is, just keep them in your hearts and prayers, because that's got to be a tough one too.
My daughter, is young, is in with COVID in Cookie Med yesterday morning. Her husband, too, he's home. So
let us pray. Dear Lord, we just ask you to come in each and every one of these families that we have mentioned today that's having struggles in this world. And we just ask that your grace and your peace and your guidance come into their life to deal with these difficult situations, that they find a way to turn to you and find your unconditional love, because all things are possible through you, Lord, if we seek you in all things. And we just ask you for the ones that we don't know, and whatever may be out there in someone's heart there, you know, that they're not sharing, just heal that broken heart. Get them to where they need to be. Get them to the point where they'll accept your love again in your life. We just pray, Lord, that your people come back to you and fulfill your desire in all things to have your children back with you. Would anyone else like to pray?
Diseases, the fires, the flooding. And I pray that people would turn to you, that they would realize that, you know, hey, I better get right with God. You know, something's going on here. So we pray for folks, Father, who are going through these tribulations, that they would turn to Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, you'd help your people to remain faithful to you through it all. Mm-hmm. And help us, Lord, to be that witness and light to others out in the world. We ask blessings upon our families, and thank you, God, for the good reports. And I just just pray, Lord, blessings upon us because we need more of you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for today's message, Father. Mm-hmm. Help us to remember the words that were spoken. Thank you for the pastor that put this together for mm-hmm. us this morning.
Father, pray for all the hurting people out there. There's a lot of them, Lord. Like life was good and all of a sudden tragedy slapped them in the face, Lord. And they're beyond their wits to know what to do. Their hearts are broken, they're hurting. Said that you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Yet we see the tragedies and we're not that far away. Emergencies happen, Lord. You know better than we know. But Lord, you always had compassion on your people. You always had a restoration, a way back, a path to walk, a song in the night, light in the darkness. You are faithful. You remain, Lord. We're broken, but you remain. You heal us. You amend us, Lord. You are doing it. You're a faithful God. You're doing a bigger picture than we can see, Lord. But it all works together for good because we believe it. Because that's the way you work. That's the way your love is. Pray be with the Callahan family, Lord. Heal them. Bring this man to you, Lord. Others that have come across our path and Hollis's path, Lord. Thank you for placing him there and giving him your words. Here. Thank you for answering prayers and helping us, Lord. Be with Julie, comfort her and her family as her mother's passed. We know where she is. We have great hope. Mend broken hearts, Lord. You are faithful. No one can steal us away from you, Lord. You haven't given that authority to man, nor the devil. That liar, thief, the weakling, speaks and boasts great things. But you are mighty, strong. Your word, heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will not pass away. You will do what you say. Your word is authority. Your word is love. Your word is for us. We're right on the winning side.
And thank everyone for coming. And before we close, dear Lord, I just want to remember Pastor Lloyd, our district pastor. He is going in on Tuesday to have some heart surgery stuff done. So let's just keep him in our prayers. I got to meet with him, and he's a little worried about it, but he says he believes God will pull him through. It's faithful. So just remember that. And all God's people said,